listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Burrows took that one, shrugged it off, got back to his feet. Now he will backhand it out of the zone to center ice. Grabbed by Perron. Sends it back the other way across the rink. Here comes Rasmussen into the Shark zone. Sends it across the rink. Here's a play to the slot, and they score! Dylan Larkin in the slot was able to tip that one past Kekkonen with a minute 30 to play to make it 4-3 Detroit.
Well, very simple. We fell asleep on the power play goal where they made it 3-2. And then just completely mishandled a simple breakout, gave him the puck in the neutral zone, and they throw from the corner, goes off a skate, and in. That's what happened. A bad change, too, on the third, on the fourth goal. Made a bad change, but we had complete control. The change shouldn't have really mattered, and we just gave it to him in the neutral zone. And that's what happened.
Yeah, like it's better, obviously, but, you know, it's a tough loss, this one. And I think we all can agree on that, and... You know, we just got to keep grinding through it and get out of it.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Good morning. Bringing us in there was David Quinn and then William Eklund after the Detroit Red Wings go-ahead goal last night. And I think the one thing that really sticks out to me is that what you heard from William Eklund there, and we'll get into some more from Kaapo Kähkönen as well as Fabian Zetterlund, but William Eklund was particularly incensed after this one, and we can talk about the high-sticking penalty he got, which I was not in love with. He just said he had no comment about it, and David Quinn didn't say much about it either. But I think that when you're in the midst of a losing streak like the Sharks are right now, they've lost 9 in a row, there is a sense that you don't like the answers oftentimes. And that's what we hear athletes when they're asked these questions. They don't really want to get into it. They're ticked off because of how things have gone, and they know the answer, and they don't really want to get into it. I think the difference now is that they don't have the answers. I think before they had a greater idea of what was going wrong and how they were losing games. And even in this one, yes, we can point to a couple of plays, but the overall sense out of last night's game, I think across the board, was that they played a pretty decent game, but they still managed a way to not be able to hold on to it, not be able to put themselves in that position when all is said and done. I mean, you're up 3-2 at home and you should be able to win that game. And that's even in light of the fact that especially that second goal, the Compher scored on Kaapo, that was just kind of fluky in the way it found the back of the net. And you had some tip plays. It was like, okay, you're still in control of this game. You're up 3-2. It's the third period. It's at home. And then it just all got away from them. And I understand that this is a down year, part of the rebuild for where the Sharks are and part of the Sharks era right now. But at the same time, you are looking at this team simply not being able to find those wins that they were able to find a month ago when they went on that road trip after they got some nice wins at home, and they went out and they, you know, got wins over the Devils and the Islanders and Detroit, and also got the overtime loss to the Knights. But that was the Sharks at that point figuring out ways to get back into games, figuring out ways to get wins, figuring out ways to get points. And while they're very good at riding that momentum, you would think that momentum would have kicked in out of last night's game because they were down 1-0, they tied it. They were down 2-1, they tied it. And at that point, you're about halfway through the third and you're thinking you've got a good chance to get a win at home and break what at that point was an 8-game slide. Instead, about a minute and 30 seconds later, Perron gets the game-tying goal, making it 3-3, and then he scores the go-ahead goal, making it 4-3. And then from that point on, you add on an empty netter, it's 5-3. And it's just, it's so very frustrating to watch the game go down that way because you felt like you had a chance, you felt like you gave yourself a good opportunity, but then it all collapsed so very, very quickly. And in a year in which you have tried already to dig yourself out of a hole where you were 0-10-1 to start the year and then you finally started getting some quality wins, it feels like not all of that has been undone, but it feels like so much of what you did to get yourself, you know, back into a place of respectability has gone out the window. And it's not for a lack of effort. I think the Sharks' effort in the game last night was good. I think there have been a lot of losses in this 9-game losing streak. The Sharks have been better, have been competitive. But I think that gets down to the bottom line of the issue is that the Sharks can play better. They can be a specifically better team than they were at the start of the year, where they're not losing 7-1 or 10-2 or 10-1 or 6-0. They can be better than all of that, but that still doesn't necessarily mean that they are good or a team that wins games. And if we look back to the start of this losing streak, it was a 1-0 loss to Arizona. No offense that night. Then they went out and they drew the five-minute major in the first 3 minutes of the game at Colorado, and they lost 6-2. And they had tough games against L.A., where they were just seemingly completely outmanned and outgunned by a very, very complete L.A. team. That was a 4-1 loss. Then they lost the next night against Arizona 5-2. And then it was Vancouver 7-4. Then you've got the Christmas break. You go back out onto the road. You get beat up by L.A. 5-1. And then you lose to Edmonton 5-0. Then it's New Year's Eve. And then you have a pretty good game against Colorado, where once again it gets away from you late. You lose that one by a final of 3-1. And then you get back home finally, and you're losing 5-3 to Detroit. And I'm not trying to be a naysayer or a negative Nelly or anything like that, but Winnipeg is a very, very good team, and they're in town on Thursday night. Winnipeg right now, one of those surprise teams of the year. They are second place in the Central with 50 points. And then you have Toronto right after that. They're another very, very good team. They're coming in on Saturday afternoon. They're in third place right now in the Atlantic, and that's a very, very good Atlantic division, which sees Tampa in fourth place in Detroit after finally getting a win. They've not been great as of late, but they're sitting in fifth right now. So this Sharks schedule is not very easy, and then they go out onto the road. I mean, this is a very, very tenuous moment for this team, because you don't want to see the hard work that got them out of that initial hole just feel like it was all for naught. And I am completely understanding that the Sharks have to be bad to be good again. I completely understand that 100%. But I also look back to where this team was in January, where they came off that 3-2-1 road trip, and then they came back and they beat Winnipeg, and you had a pretty good crowd in hands, and you had just a lot of excitement. It felt like there was a reaction to that winning road trip where you go 3-2-1, where suddenly fans were more in attendance against Winnipeg in the middle of December than they otherwise would have been on a weeknight. And you felt like, hey, there's some good vibes going on here. And now, you know, it feels like a lot of that is completely out the window. I mean, after that win against Winnipeg, people were saying, hey, the Sharks are only 7 points out of a playoff spot right now. They've been playing much, much better hockey. But since that point, it's all been downhill from there. There have been no points earned in that stretch. It's been the Sharks losing, losing, losing left and right. And that takes its toll, because I think they thought they had some of the answers. I think they thought they had a good idea of what went wrong. And when they would be asked these questions after losses, they didn't like the answers. But now it feels like they just are at a loss. And when you look at the rest of the NHL right now, what's interesting is that the Sharks are not completely out in space in terms of how bad they are with this 9-game losing skid. They've got 21 points on the year. That's only 3 back of Chicago. That's only 5 back of Anaheim. I mean, that just tells you where these teams are. You know, Columbus, 32 points right now at the bottom of the Metro. And then Ottawa, 28 points at the bottom of the Atlantic. So it's not like the Sharks are that much worse than the other bad teams in the NHL, or even, you know, in their own conference with Anaheim as well as Chicago. But losing streaks like this are the type of thing that turn fans off and that they do not want to come back and see more of. I think when we look at San Jose, you know, you felt this was going to be a tough year and you were going to have difficulty doing much but be a bottom team. But I think it's the way in which you're a bottom team. You've got to have wins here and there. You've got to have positivity here and there. You've got to have something for your players. You've got to have something for your fans. You've got to have something positive to react to. And now you're essentially in the midst of a 3-week losing streak, and there's just nothing that you can point to and say this is a building point. And I'm not saying that there aren't reasons why this has happened. I look primarily at the injury factors for what we've seen with San Jose and guys that have gone down, you know, without Benning out there, without Nico Sturm out there. Those are two big, big losses. You still don't have Logan Couture out there. He hasn't been out there all year. Seems like Alexander Barabanov has had a hard time recapturing his game after his injury. You know, you've only recently had a Carpenter come back. These are all factors in why the team has been so bad as of late. They aren't excuses, but it does play in. You can't ignore those and try and explain the results because one doesn't happen without the other, at least not in my opinion. But you've still got to be able to find ways to win. And that's what it felt like the Sharks were going to be capable of after they got over that 0-10-1 start. I mean, we heard David Quinn talking about the team finding themselves and having some swagger and not, you know, being the same team that didn't trust themselves earlier in the year and, you know, being fragile. Those were all things that we associated with that 0-10-1 start, and it felt like they had moved on from that. But now it just feels like they are playing better, but it's just not good enough. And that's not the same as finding ways to lose. I don't think the Sharks team is finding ways to lose. I think they right now are having a tough time finding ways to win, which can be just as demoralizing as they were in a winning position in this game, 3-2 at home halfway through the third period, and they were unable to give that a safe journey home. They couldn't shuttle that victory into their arms. And so now they have to figure out yet again on Thursday night how they can play that much better, because I don't hate the way they've played in the last two games. I think we've liked what we've seen a lot of the time from the Sharks, and their offense is starting to wake back up. You would like more from the power play, but you know, you're seeing things start to look a little bit more cohesive out there offensively. You're seeing better puck movement. One thing I give Detroit a lot of credit with last night is it seemed like they were blocking shots on almost every other trip the Sharks had into the Detroit zone. So that's a credit to them, something they're able to do very, very well. I'll be curious to see if that's something the Sharks have happened to them again, because maybe they might be a little bit just too telegraphic with what they're doing out there on offense. But, you know, that was something that Detroit really, really did effectively throughout the course of the game. And if the shot can't get anywhere near the net, guess what? You're going to have a tough time scoring and you're going to get frustrated. And the Sharks did have better zone entries. They were cleaner on the breakout. They just looked more and more crisp overall. But Detroit was making life difficult on them. And the Sharks, as the game went on, you know, had a bad giveaway, you know, lost one in the neutral zone, or they would just have bad passes. And they made life too easy on their opposition. And that's not going to get it done against a team like Detroit, who has cooled. You know, with the win last night, they've only won 3 out of their last 10. But at the same time, you still have to acknowledge that they are a decent team right now. They are in that hunt for a playoff position. They are, I believe, 2 points back of the Caps right now for the final spot in the wild card rankings in the East. Unfortunately, a competitive loss has the same outcome as a blowout loss. You don't get any points out of it. And right now, we're at another one of those moments in the season where the Sharks have to turn to no one but themselves. No one's bailing them out. Yes, Logan Couture is close to return, but the way this squad is right now, he's not suddenly going to be the thing that turns them into a Stanley Cup champion or a team that can reliably win every night. His return would give them a greater chance of winning in any given game, but it's still not going to be enough to make them just that much better of a team that can be, you know, close to 500. He will help, but it's still not enough. And even if you do get Benning back, and even if you do get, you know, other players like Sturm back as well, it's still, it would make them better. It would make them more competitive, but it's not going to suddenly turn them into world beaters as a team. That takes time. And unfortunately, that's what the Sharks are going through right now. We have determined in professional sports, in particular hockey, that you've got to be bad for a while if you want to be good again. I don't think there's anything wild in acknowledging that. And the Sharks are at that point of their timeline where they've got to be bad before they can be good. The issue is that I don't think we thought it would be this bad. I know there were some people who said before the start of the year that the Sharks could be one of the worst teams in the history of the Cap era and blah, blah, blah. I don't, you know, any team has the potential to be the best and or the worst team at the start of every single season. I don't think people pegged Boston last year to have the best regular season ever. I don't think that it's accurate to say the Sharks are one of the worst teams ever, because they're only slightly behind where teams like Chicago and Ottawa and, you know, just other bad teams are around the league right now. I mean, it's they're a few points back of Anaheim as well. Like I said earlier, this is not some, you know, out in space team where the Sharks are just absolutely abysmal and the rest of the league isn't. You're looking at teams that are all at different points of their rebuild, and no one has the exact science to make sure this rebuild pays off. I mean, when we faced the Red Wings earlier this year, there was talk that after the 7-year playoff drought, well, the Red Wings have suddenly figured it out. Well, they've cooled. They're not the same team they were a month ago. And so now that's a team that's trying to fight their way back into the playoff picture. And yes, they're only a couple of points out, but things change rather quickly in the NHL. When we go back a month ago and the Sharks and the Red Wings played before last night, the Sharks had been playing better hockey, and that was one of the most wild wins of the year when they turned around a 4-0 deficit and came back to win. So it's tough going for the San Jose Sharks and for a lot of teams in the NHL right now as they try and turn themselves into a team of not today, but a team of tomorrow. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to get into some post-game reaction, as well as you'll hear from an interview I did with Shalana Goldman of NHL.com. That's all coming up next on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
With it center ice, winds up and slaps it into the offensive zone. Behind the net, behind the back pass, there's Sederlund in front, couldn't get the feed from Duclair. But Duclair recovered it to Eklund, turns right corner to Hoffman on the point, to Granlund, he shoots it, it's blocked! Empty net for Rasmussen, he's gonna get it, score!
Yeah, very frustrating because, you know, you're gonna play winning hockey, I've said this before, and just completely at the wrong time, turn it over, fall asleep on a penalty kill. You know, it's clear as day what our responsibilities are, and we fall asleep. So it's not quite 60 minutes yet for us. It's certainly a lot better, but I'm tired of being just a better. It doesn't matter. You want to win hockey games, and right now we're not.
A frustrated David Quinn bringing us back on a Wednesday morning here on Morning Tide. The Sharks losing their first game of the calendar year of 2024, 5-3. To Detroit, more from Quinn on some of the positive moves they made, especially on offense, but he doesn't exactly sound too enamored with much of anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can take a lot of good things, you know. You know, scoring 5-on-5, and our special teams let us down. We give up two goals on the penalty kill and don't get a power play goal. So, at the end of the day, special teams, you know, 5-on-5, we, like I said, we score 3 5-on-5 goals. You know, they get 2, 4-on-4. Actually, they got a 4-on-4 goal. And the 5-on-5 goal was off a skate, so from a corner shot. So that's how it goes when you're in the situation we're in.
And I give David Quinn a lot of credit because he's been able to come out and give fairly detailed answers in the midst of some extreme adversity all year long, and he's not trying to shy away from the reality. He's not trying to paint a rosy or teal-tinted image. He knows that it's not just good enough to be a little bit better than they were previously or improved because, like he said there, you're not winning hockey games. You're not coming up the results that you want to be getting, and it takes a toll. And I think this was one of those ones where the Sharks, you know, played a better game, but ultimately it was irrelevant. They still lost when all was said and done. So as much as some people might want to point to the fact that they did play better, it's still not enough. And I think that's the overwhelming thought that, you know, permeated from this post-game session with players and coach, is that you thought that it just wasn't enough. I think there was that realization that they did a lot of what they felt they needed to do better, and it still wasn't enough. Quinn was asked about the late game mistakes the Sharks are making now.
I don't know whether the pressure of losing and we get nervous or whatnot, you know, maybe an experience. You know, look at our blue line and a lot of the experience back there, and it's a pressure situation, so, you know, that can play a factor in it.
And I don't doubt any of what he said. Unfortunately, it's just for the Sharks, that's where their roster is right now. That's the construct. That's who they have. And it's not getting any better anytime soon. Quinn also asked if it was tough to get guys to stick to the plan, because even if the plan is yielding better performance on the ice, it's not yielding results in the way of wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, you know. We're losing for different reasons, it seems, every night, you know, so Colorado, we're going to give up a 6-on-5 goal. You know, tonight it's a 4-on-4 goal. Power play goal. It's off the skate. You know, so, but we'll get out of it.
And one thing that I did notice from everybody who spoke last night, not many lengthy answers. Guys were ticked off. Guys were fed up. And they did not want to dwell on that game. And I think that's probably somewhere where they need to be. They need to be absolutely sick of the losing and be able to pull themselves out of it. And hey, the next opportunity is tomorrow. They're hosting Winnipeg. William Eklund was particularly ticked off after last night's game. Obviously, the penalty he drew not being one that he was particularly enamored with, but he was about as hot as we've ever seen him, which is, considering how calm he is, not exactly screaming and cursing, but very, very short answers. Very, very much the thousand-yard stare. He was not at all a happy camper after that game.
Is this loss extra frustrating right now for you?
Yeah.
And it was a night like that from William Eklund. Short, terse, angry answers. Not angry at us, by the way, but just angry at the way the game had played out, the way that he had a role in the loss. And I think that, again, you've got to have everyone that ticked off. Let's hear from Fabian Zetterlund.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. We battle out there. We do a good game, but still, we're going to take away the chances at the end there. And yeah, don't give up that.
When asked about the frustrating nature of the loss.
Yeah, I mean, a hockey game is 60 minutes, you know, and you have to play full 60 to win.
Kaapo Kähkönen was asked also about the frustrating nature of the loss, even though they did do a lot of things better.
Hurts just as any other loss, I think. I don't know. I mean, yeah, we did some good things. Obviously, they score, we get one back, we get a lead. But at the end of the day, obviously, it comes down to a couple of plays and yeah, couldn't get the job done, so frustrating.
But I'll point out, like I did earlier, that none of these answers are long. None of these answers are great in detail. It's just, it's the same thing over and over. It's not a disregard, but it's like a feeling that, yeah, they don't care that they are playing better. They care that the result is the loss. And again, this is my hope, is that they will be so pissed off from the way they've been playing that they will find a way to turn things around in one of these two games before they go out onto the road, because it doesn't get any easier. You could say that maybe they have a chance against Chicago, but once again, that's the last game of a 5-game road trip that takes you through Canada, through the Eastern time zone, so it's not easy for the Sharks moving forward. All right, wanted to get into a little bit of the conversation I had yesterday with Shalana Goldman, who covers the Sharks for NHL.com. I asked her about fans' reactions to the Sharks this year versus the past, being as how the Sharks have been going through bad times.
This season is actually completely different from the last couple. Coming out of the pandemic, it was, oh, how are the Sharks doing? I haven't looked at them in a while. This season, because of the historically bad start, I get asked about them more. When I go out places, they're actually on more, because it's like, oh, are they going to win, or is this going to be another 10-2 blowout? So there's almost, I don't want to say, I mean, there's almost more interest right now from fans who maybe wouldn't watch until the playoffs, just because they're going through such a crazy transition and because these games are so lopsided. They had that 11 game losing streak to start the season, and then they won a bunch in a row. So then people were really, so then there was this, you know, this big belief, oh, they're turning things around. And now that they've lost 8 in a row, there's still sort of that wonder around them. It's because, you know, and then we're getting into trade deadline time and people are like, is this going to be a different team? So it is sort of bizarre because people are watching. They're just watching for very different reasons right now.
That interest, I guess, does that tell you that when the Sharks are ready to pull out of this, and, you know, any rebuild, it takes time. Ask, you know, the Red Wings, who they're playing tonight. They've it's been 7 years since they made the playoffs after making it every year for 25 years. It takes time. But do you think that people will be ready to kind of jump back onto the bandwagon? And it's funny because, you know, bandwagon is used as a negative term, like, oh, they're bandwagon fans. But it's like, well, no, I mean, like, people are investing their time, emotion, and money in a team. Like, that's a lot easier to do when they're winning. Like, you want to have bandwagon fans. Yeah. You want to have something that people want to be a part of.
Yeah, I actually think because of how they are right now, if they made even a big push at the end of the season and brought a lot of the young guys up, I think that would get people a little more excited. You saw a bit of that at the end of last year. When you saw Eklund come back up for the first time since the start of the season, you saw Thomas Bortolo come up. So there is that wonder. There is that excitement. There are the fans who I talk to on social media a lot who are still watching, but they're struggling. And it's just, there's that push and pull, but because they didn't just fade, because they have had this crazy low season, I do think there is a bit more excitement to jump back on that bandwagon when they do well.
Yeah, you bring up the young players, and it's interesting because you watch William Eklund, and, you know, he's got more goals than Alex Ovechkin right now. I don't think any of us really had that one on our 23-24 bingo card. But, yeah, I mean, there is that excitement. You're waiting for Eklund. You're waiting for Bortolo. We've been able to see more of Thrun recently and Ochocinc, who came over as part of that Timo Meier trade. Ferraro is playing tonight because a lot of people were wondering if Mook Madulin would be coming up to play with the Sharks, but Ferraro is going to be able to play. And yeah, I always make the comparison because it's the most direct one to baseball of when teams start bringing up younger players. And it's a probably a lazy comparison. You can call me out for it, but it kind of reminds me of like where the Giants were in, I believe it was the end of the 2007 or halfway through when Tim Lincecum first started coming up and some of those younger guys in 08 and 09, you know, when we first got our sights of Buster Posey, who was playing in San Jose and then joined the Giants. Then Bumgarner came up towards the end of that 09 season. And, you know, I don't think anybody predicted what would come next, but I'm sure that's what the Sharks are hoping for. But like you said, people are excited. Then you start adding in the Will Smith to this conversation, Quentin Musty, these other guys. You know, the Sharks have six players of the World Juniors. It is a different type of excitement. It's not the same as being on a playoff run, but it does give people something to look forward to.
And I do, you know, and again, there are probably other more recent comparisons, but I would say it is kind of like the Giants and sort of that 08, 09 before they made the run, you know, before they made the run in 2010. It is that similar thing where you started seeing young guys come up. You knew this team was in a transition, but you already had guys to get excited about.
Yeah.
And so there was still that. So there's still that look at, you know, and because of how social media is now, we can track how the Sharks' young prospects are doing. We can see what Will Smith is doing. We can see what Quentin Musty's doing, and he's doing a lot of great things right now. So that's helping to get, and you know, and the young guys who are here right now, you mentioned Henry Thrun. We also have guys like Kalen Addison. We have these guys who are, you know, who are pending RFAs, who could be the future of this team. And so even during this current skid, one of David Quinn's biggest things is that, you know, that some of the young guys are playing really well. You have Eklund who's grinding so hard, even when he's not scoring. Henry Thrun, who's, you know, being thrown into the fire and, you know, and trying to help make this defense better. So there is, while the, you know, this season they might be so down and out as a team as a whole, to see these young guys really working and progressing, that does give you hope for the future.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And that was what was interesting about watching the game the other night is that, you know, you got to see some young players like Henry Thrun do his thing in the game. You had an injury, which of course has been such a big part of this season for the Sharks. And Mario Ferraro went down with the injury that we didn't know it was upper body. And eventually he alluded to it being ribs earlier today. And then you also had a goalie standing on his head throughout that game and Kaapo Kähkönen through, you know, just the very, very potent attack of the Avs and, you know, only gave up two and they got an empty netter. And, you know, if you're doing that in Colorado, I would say that's a good night for the Sharks on the road, even if it doesn't include the win. But, you know, that gets into the talk of the moral victories. And is that valid? Because I feel like you have to have, like, you can only win or lose in this game. Like, you can still get an overtime loss, but you still didn't win. Like, you can get 1 point or two or none. But I feel like for this group, they've still got to be able to, like, have something to point at, even if the wins are very rare, right? Like, they can say, hey, we still played better defensively. And it's just that people say, oh, well, you know, moral victories, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like it does. When you're in the midst of an 8-game losing streak, you got to hold on to something and hope that you can use that as a foothold to kind of climb out of it, right?
Exactly. And that was something that David Quinn's even said after games. You know, the players might be a little more down. We talked to Hurdle a lot after games and he's super competitive. And he's one of the captains of this team. And and he said, you know, this is a family. We have to play better. Mm-hmm. But then there are some things that you can point to that are going right. And no, they don't want to go on another 11 game losing streak. But you do have to take some of those good things and be like, okay, yeah, moral victories aren't great, but you have to take that and then apply that to the next game and get better. One of the things that we saw when the Sharks broke out of their earlier losing streak was that there was this resiliency. Mm-hmm. And once you find that resiliency and you can build, so even if you do lose, you can come back and win the next one, they need to get that back. And so if you can take that out of some of that sort of quote-unquote moral victory type, I think that will be better for the team in the long run.
To hear the entirety of that interview, check out yesterday's edition of The Buildup. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.